Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
The fluke. The word refers to an unlikely chance occurrence, especially a surprising piece of happenstance. And I call the fluke controversy a fluke, because only divine providence could have possibly orchestrated such a perfect rebuke and expose of the villainy of the left. We're also going to show how this connects with my examination of Obama's most recent foreign affairs blunder and how disturbing it is to compare his sensitivity to the laws of Islam to his utter contempt and disregard for the laws of our land and for Christianity. Yet we must begin with the story of this chick who won a $1 million lottery and refuses to give up her welfare check. Oh, yeah. Amanda Clayton of Michigan should be a poster child. Her picture should become a mascot for Obama politics. Here's the fruit of creating an entitlement mentality, my friends. This welfare Michigan gal won the $1 million lottery. She receives $200 every month for food, you know, and after she won the lottery, she continued to receive the welfare check. And when asked whether she intended to continue receiving the welfare check, she said, "Well, yes." She explained that, first of all, it was not a million, because she settled for the lump sum payout, which brought it down to a little over $700,000. Then after taxes, you know, well, she ended up with about half of that. So she only got $350,000 or so. And besides that, she was entitled to the welfare checks because, well, as she explained, she had no income and that she had bills to pay, you know, and with two houses to support. Yeah, I'm not kidding. There it is, folks. The mascot for the entitlement community. Even you liberals surely understand that it is inappropriate for Amanda to continue receiving welfare checks, right? But what you don't seem to understand is that it's your policies that created this mentality. Your ideology is creating an entitlement mentality community rather than a responsibility mentality and community. What is particularly scary about all this is that when you watch the interview with Amanda, she's absolutely clueless as to why there would be any question about whether she should continue receiving $200 a month in welfare checks paid for by her neighbors when she has well over $300,000 of tax-free dollars at her disposal. She believes it's owed to her because she doesn't have a job and has two houses to take care of, generating a lot of bills, you know. Not only does this show how the welfare mentality corrupts character, it also shows the folly of lotteries. That $300,000 represents well over something like $12 million scammed from the pockets of willing dupes, seduced into paying, you know, from what was it, $1 to $5 for one of these tickets. I don't know. I don't participate in it, so I don't really know how it goes. But they pay $1 or $5 or whatever to buy basically to buy a piece of paper with numbers on it. Yeah, tricked into participating in this by appealing to their greedy desire to get something for nothing, to gain at the direct expense of their neighbors. It's odd to me how many progressive friends of mine support lotteries and gambling, called gaming, and who despise the stock market and capitalism. They're exactly backwards in their thinking. They accuse participating in the stock market as gambling, as being an exercise in greed. And they present it as if someone is gaining at the expense of another. When, as a matter of absolute fact, that is absolutely not the truth, and interestingly, is exactly what does go on with lottery and with gaming. The lottery and gaming and so forth is a process by which every single dollar won is a dollar lost by someone else. Now, you can pretend it's all about entertainment if you want, but that's an interesting way to get entertained. The fact is, you know, for example, I see a movie or something like that, or a play, whatever, I pay for my ticket. I watch the movie or the play. It's a set price. I can evaluate whether I consider the product offered to be worth the price asked and make an exchange. In gaming, there is no set price. The value of what is purchased is certainly not there. Its value is entirely invented in the hopes somebody has of winning someone else's bet. And every dollar of those winnings comes directly out of the pocket of one of the other bettors. And friend, that's not the stock market. I mean, the stock market, you're investing money toward the production of goods and services that are sold on the marketplace, and you hope for a profit on your investment. That's not gaming. You are participating in the production of actual goods and services that are sold in the marketplace, bought by people who need or want them. The profit generated in this exchange is not a circumstance in which every dollar pulled out in profit represents a dollar lost by someone else. Every dollar pulled out in profits was earned by providing goods and services that were produced by the use of your investment. It's just so weird to me how many progressives hate capitalism, but generally are in favor of gaming. And when you listen to their hate speech against capitalism, it is as if they think every dollar in profit taken out of an investment is a dollar lost by some neighbor, when that is absolutely not true. On the other hand, that is exactly what's going on with lotteries and gaming. Now, how does this charming little story about Amanda connect with another charming little story about a girl named Fluke? Well, Ms. Fluke thinks you and I should pay for her birth control. Yeah, Amanda thinks we should pay for maintaining her two houses. And Fluke thinks we should pay for her birth control. It's interesting, every progressive would join me and laugh out loud at the ridiculous notion that Amanda thinks we should pay her $200 a month to buy food when she has won a $1 million lottery. Oh, excuse me, Amanda. I mean, you know, you took the lump sum settlement and you were paid $700,000, and then $350,000 went to Obama in taxes so he can make certain Fluke gets her birth control. Oh my goodness. The same progressives who would snicker at the inanity of an Amanda will rally behind Fluke and howl about how unjust it is that this college girl should be expected to pay for birth control out of her own pocket. Think about that. We all immediately understand the idiocy of Amanda, but a lot of you progressives think Fluke has a case. Well, let's see now. According to Ms. Fluke's own testimony before a mock Senate hearing, and yeah, by the way, that was not even a procedurally called hearing. The libs wanted to put Ms. Fluke on the stand. Her testimony was considered unrelated to that hearing, so the progressives, frustrated they were not going to be able to get Ms. Fluke's testimony on the record, set up a mock hearing in order to get Ms. Fluke's testimony on record with the media. Yeah, I made it a media event. What is the testimony? Well, it's well known. But let's go over it. Let's go over the salient points, at least, of her testimony for the record, shall we? She testified that as a student at Georgetown University, she does not have access to birth control because Georgetown, being a Catholic institution, conscientiously objects to the use of birth control. Now, Georgetown does not have a rule that says if any of the girls that attend that college do use birth control, they cannot enroll in the school or cannot continue in the school. I don't think they prescribe any penalty for using birth control. They don't grade the students down, for example, because of that or any such thing. They have a conscientious objection to birth control on religious grounds. And therefore, if anyone in their school uses the insurance they provide for students and they want to use birth control, they're going to have to pay for it themselves. Now, Ms. Fluke testified that this creates a hardship for her because, apparently, the birth control she uses costs her $3,000 per year. Well, that's what she told us. Now, what birth control costs $3,000 per year? That's still under investigation. But let's take her at her word. If she uses $3,000 worth of birth control every year, she is very concerned about becoming pregnant, isn't she? Now, my audience is mature, and I think everyone listening to me above the age of, well, I don't know, what is it now, 10 years old? Don't we have some 9-year-olds coming into clinics, into pregnancy clinics, seeking abortions these days? Anyway, yeah, we all know how women become pregnant, okay? Let's use a delicate term for this behavior, shall we? Clearly, people are very sensitive to certain terms these days. Russia's found out that if you're a conservative talking about a progressive, well, you must be very, very careful what terms you use when discussing these things. Of course, if you're a flaming progressive like potty mouth Bill Mayer, and you are calling a conservative woman a dirty name, well, that's different. Yeah, that's free speech, of course. So anyway, because I'm conservative, I need to be very particularly careful here, right? So let's use the word intercourse. Now, this use of the word developed in the late 18th century. So I think it's far enough removed from Shakespeare, who died in 1616. So I think it's safe to use this word. It shouldn't fall heavy upon the sensitivity of the ears of modern liberals. Unless, of course, they're making a movie laced with foul language, then, of course, the rules change again. You can see how confusing this is getting. But anyway, we'll use the word intercourse. So clearly, Ms. Fluke is participating in intercourse. Otherwise, she wouldn't be concerned about becoming pregnant. Now, let's see. No, Ms. Fluke is not married, so she is participating in what we would call fornication. You know, intercourse without benefit of clergy. I know you God-hating types resent the notion that intercourse should be restricted to persons who have made a lifelong commitment to one another, but isn't that beside the point? The point is Ms. Fluke desires to engage in intercourse at will, and yet knowing that this behavior often results in pregnancy, and finding pregnancy to be inconvenient for her at this time in her life, incommodious to her plans, and not to her liking, well, she desires to avail herself of birth control, which, of course, interferes with the natural process of human reproduction, inhibiting that process so that she can participate in intercourse without being concerned about the natural consequence of this behavior, which often is pregnancy. Are you following this? Okay, good. Very clear, right? I'm being delicate. Okay. In other words, she wants to have sex without worrying about becoming pregnant. Anyway, now we come to the point. Because not only does Ms. Fluke want to have intercourse with whomever and whenever without having to deal with pregnancy, she also wants to do this without the inconvenience of paying for it. She wants us to pay for it, and not just any of us. Oh no, she's particularly interested in forcing a Catholic college to provide the birth control so she can have all the intercourse she wants with whomever and whenever. Which, by the way, is no one's business, right? This is her private business, isn't it? This having intercourse with whomever, whenever. I mean, that is her private business. Who she sleeps with is her, right? Because we all know she can access birth control in many other ways that are publicly funded. For example, she could go to a school that does not conscientiously object on religious grounds to including birth control in their healthcare packages for its students. She can go to any number of clinics, including Planned Parenthood clinics, and receive birth control that is, well, virtually free. I mean, it's certainly not going to cost her $3,000 per year, as she can cover herself to have sex every single day, even twice a day, with a little more than a few hundred dollars a year, with much of that covered by taxpayers already. So you see, the point is not really that Ms. Fluke wants taxpayer-provided birth control so she can have intercourse, you know, with whomever, whenever. The real point is that she wants a Catholic school to do it. You need to be listening to this. She wants someone to pay for it who conscientiously objects to paying for it. Yeah, she wants to impose her morality on it. Yeah. She specifically targeted people whose religious convictions compel them to object to participating in her promiscuous lifestyle. People who believe it's wrong and do not have any interest in funding it. Do you understand, my dear friends, that Ms. Fluke and all the rest standing behind her howling about how offensive it is to them that some people of faith don't want to pay for something they find objectionable to their beliefs and religious convictions. My point is Ms. Fluke is assaulting and directly assaulting people of faith. This is the point. It has nothing to do with birth control and everything to do with faith control. What a fluke. Bible thump alert, Bible thump alert. God takes them in their own craftiness. Job 5:13, 1 Corinthians 3:19. He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. These yahoos thought they were exposing the bigotry and oppressive policies of a Christian institution, but in fact, they ended up exposing their own bigotry and oppressive tyrannical instincts against all people of faith. It's a perfect rebuke against them. Oh yeah, and Melinda Henneberger on Hardball answered a question posed by Chris Tinglelegs about the role of the First Amendment in this controversy, and she raised a very disturbing question. She said, quote, "Maybe the founders were wrong to guarantee the free exercise of religion in the First Amendment, but that is what they did," end quote. Melinda Henneberger is a political writer for the Washington Post, and in fairness, it's possible she was being facetious. Didn't sound that way. And if she was being sarcastic, it sure didn't come across like that. I watched the interview. What's important is that her statement is the point of this whole exercise. It is obvious that Ms. Fluke did not need her college to provide birth control for her. This was all staged in order to challenge the religious rights of a religious institution. It's not about birth control, it's about faith control, and that brings us to the next knot I want to massage today. Obama's seemingly inexplicable contempt for the religious rights of Christians compared to his equally enigmatical, almost exaggerated respect for the religious liberties of Muslims. I'll be right back.
You have a pastor that doesn't compromise. You got to come to church on Easter Sunday. You'll love it.
What I like about Lighthouse Baptist Church is that the Word of God is taught. And I want to invite all my friends to come hear the services on Easter Sunday.
The preaching is hot, and Pastor preaches in season and out of season. Come to Easter services here at Lighthouse Baptist Church.
I love the spirit here. I love how I could come here, and it's a family. And I want to invite you to come to the Easter service at Lighthouse Baptist Church.
I love my church because it's an opportunity for me to serve in the ministry. I love that I can have someone to go to if I need anything.
I love Lighthouse Baptist Church because the truth is preached here in the Bible. I hope you come visit us on Easter Sunday.
I'm thankful for the friends, the good friends that I have at Lighthouse Baptist Church, and I encourage you to come. Meet them at Easter service.
Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheibach, Brain Masseur, and Paul Revere's Lantern Lighter. Lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Obama shows contempt for the sensitivities of Christians. For example, when Rush referred to Ms. Fluke as a slut, and you know, by the way, he didn't actually say, Ms. Fluke, you're a slut. Yeah. This thing is so messed up. He observed that her testimony amounted to an admission that she was having sex with multiple partners, and that is a behavior we would call a slut. He observed that such behavior was suggested by her testimony is the behavior of a slut, but laying that aside for the moment, you libbers are all self-righteously condemning Rush for suggesting that an unmarried girl who has, I gotta get back to my sense of intercourse with guys is a slut, and that if she expects others to pay for her to enjoy having intercourse so she doesn't have to be concerned about pregnancy, that suggests the idea of a whore who gets paid. Anyway, he was just making a... But you're all up in arms about that, but hypocritically ignore Bill Maher or the vile, crude, and even obscene slurs against Tea Party members. You disgust me. You remember they called Tea Party members teabaggers? 99% of those of us who participate in the Tea Party didn't even know what you were talking about. And we found out, we realized just what a dirty, filthy, gutter mind you people have. It's unbelievable. But lay it aside, all of that for the moment. Obama shows profound contempt for Christian sensitivities when he calls Ms. Fluke and basically apologizes for Rush's comments and tells her that he believes her parents should be proud of her. Really? Think about this. The president calls a citizen who has testified before a mock Senate hearing that she is promiscuous, that she wants to continue being promiscuous but does not want to get pregnant and therefore must use birth control, that this creates a burden on her because she cannot afford to pay for the birth control. I mean, she needs $3,000 a year to maintain her behavior. And the Catholic college she attends does not provide birth control in their policy for religious reasons. And this is not in accordance with the demands of Obamacare. Or in other words, this is about Obama forcing religious institutions to provide contraception and abortion, by the way, as part of his Obamacare program that he is imposing upon Americans against their will. Obama called this girl in order that he knew what he was doing. The president making a call like this, he knew it'd make news. He wants to be a cheerleader in this assault on Christian sensitivities. You don't think so? You think he was just being nice? Wow. What a bobblehead. Now, follow closely here. President-elect Obama calls this girl and tells her that her parents should be proud. Keep in mind that my point is his utter contempt for Christian values, his campaign to destroy the Christian faith. His agenda is to drive Christianity out of the public square, to bring America out from under God, to complete the process of ensuring America does not see itself as a Christian nation. Remember, that is what he declared in one of his speeches during his bid for the office that he now holds illegally. So Obama says to this girl, whose lifestyle is clearly contrary to Christian ideals regarding the sanctity of life, the sacredness of sex and of marriage, and this is a threefer for him. He gets to insult us on all three points in one shot. I thought to myself when I heard this, would Obama be proud of his daughter if she was having intercourse with various guys and so promiscuous that she needed $3,000 worth of contraception every year to avoid getting pregnant? Would this make any parent proud? The sad thing is today there are some parents who would actually pat her on the back and say, way to go, honey, for being conscientious and using contraception. That's how disgusting this whole thing has become. Actually, Ms. Fluke would be an embarrassment to every parent I know, that's for sure. Certainly any parent who values Christian morality. Any parent who views sex as not merely recreational, but as a divinely appointed gift to the marriage bed, as defining marriage as unique from every other relationship in this world, lifting that relationship above all others and making it the exclusive experience between one man and one woman that makes their relationship unique. That which makes marriage separate and exclusive, creating a bond that provides a solid foundation for a stable family. Now, this woman is an offense to all of us who value the Christian moray regarding marriage. And Obama insults our sense of religious liberty and our sense of religious morality. What do you suppose would happen if he insulted Islam in the way he regularly insults Christianity? He demonstrates such care for the sensitivities of Muslims. I mean, he bends over backwards, as they say, to accommodate Muslims' religious rights, going so far as to suggest that we in our own court should accommodate them by yielding to their perspective on certain laws. Now, here's a man who apologizes to the Afghanistan people for the alleged desecration of their holy book, even before he knows the facts of the case. You know, in the same way he condemned the police who got into a scuffle with a black college professor and assumed it was motivated by race before he knew any of the facts. Do you not see a pattern here? Before any investigation is completed, before all the facts are in, Obama runs out and apologizes to Karzai for the inadvertent desecration of their already defiled copies of the Quran. And by doing this, he throws our soldiers under the bus. He exposes them to charges of a capital offense in that ridiculous country. And rather than calm them by his apology, he actually emboldened them, inflamed them into a maniacal rage. It probably would have raged anyway, but he justified it. They kill four of our soldiers in retaliation against us for this nonsense. And Obama has not said a word in defense of our soldiers that I've heard, or in protest against Karzai's government. Why? Well, he understands the Muslim way, you see. He understands and sympathizes with their point of view. He has respect for their sensitivities. He sympathizes with their religious feelings, but he has no respect for the religious sensitivities of Christians. Why? Well, of course he has no respect for this absurd notion that abortion is murder, or that contraception is contrary to the will of God. Now, follow me closely here, folks. He has no respect for these religious notions, but killing four of our soldiers who had nothing to do with the offense that triggered them into a maniacal rage, an offense that no normal human being would regard as a capital offense, not worthy of the death penalty, surely, and certainly not an offense that justifies killing people who didn't even have anything to do with it, you know, in order to just make some kind of a point. This does not outrage this ridiculous president. This does not offend his sensibilities. He can understand why Muslims would gather in the streets and start riots over the burning of a defiled, desecrated, discarded Quran, but he cannot tolerate a Christian institution that does not believe in contraception or objects to him using their money to kill babies in the womb. He wants to apologize to the maniacal Muslims in a rage over an inadvertent offense, but he does not demand an apology for their maniacal murder of four of our soldiers who had nothing to do with it. Furthermore, by apologizing for this, he has admitted to guilt. Yes, he has justified their rage. He justified the murder of our soldiers by apologizing to them for this offense. Are you not aware that even in our own culture, an apology is an admission of guilt? Legally, yes. You see it all the time in the movies or on TV shows. If you paid attention, something happens and then everybody's told, don't say anything, don't apologize. Once you apologize, you've admitted to guilt. Is this president so dull, so slow, he doesn't understand that when he ran out there to apologize to the Afghanistan people, he was admitting guilt, justifying their rage? You know, actually, this man never admits guilt. He never takes responsibility for anything except for the successes that have resulted from the policies of his predecessor. Did Obama not understand that in Islamic culture, when you apologize, you are admitting guilt? Did he not know that in that culture, you're expected to prove the sincerity of your apology by accepting the punishment that's prescribed for it? Are you ready for this? Guess what's coming down next? Oh yeah, the Afghanistan government is demanding that the soldiers responsible for burning the defiled, discarded Qurans be delivered up to them to be tried in their Sharia court. This puts Obama in a real pickle. Now what does he do? He has apologized, which means he has admitted to their guilt. Yeah, thrown them under the bus. Now they want to punish these men that Obama has virtually condemned by his apology. And they want to punish them according to Sharia law. And I'm telling you right now that if Obama could do what he wanted, I think he'd deliver these men to them to be judged in their courts. That's how far I believe he would bow to Islam. The word Islam means to submit. Man, we've got an Islam president. He bowed to the Saudi king at the beginning of his attempt to rule over us, and he's been bowing and scraping ever since. He's the Islam president. Do you remember hearing him reminisce about waking to Adhan in the morning while living in a Muslim country, Muslim-majority country? Adhan is the Muslim call to prayer, by the way. He spoke of waking to what he described as the most beautiful sound in his memory. Yeah, the Muslim call to morning prayers, Adhan. And I can't say it like he did. He said it with such affection, such warmth, with perfect accent. You remember that he practically had a tear in his eye. The inflections in his voice were tender, full of longing, and his countenance beamed with admiration for his Muslim experiences as a youth. Oh, how he works to ingratiate himself to the Muslim. Let me ask you, have you ever heard him talk that way about his Christian faith? No, you haven't. When he speaks of the Muslim religion and of his experiences in that religion, he practically kisses the word Muslim, Muslim. Now, I'm not even playfully exaggerating. You've noticed it, surely. Muslim. Whether he's a Muslim or not isn't even the point. And I believe Muslims have every right of religious liberty that we have. But he has gone out of his way to make nice with the Muslims, while at the same time he goes out of his way to insult Christians. Why? Well, we got to wrap up the show, so I won't get to that. Not today. It's a tight one. And it will require a vigorous brain massage to loosen it. All I'll say in conclusion is Obama's attacking the foundations of our culture and of our government, because I believe it is his intention to shift America from its founding foundation and set it upon another foundation. But we'll talk about that some more in another time. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. Now, you let me know if you see that they are on. You call 1-888-770-8000. That is 1-888-770-8000. And say lights on if you agree, lights off if you disagree. Go to our website, thebrainmassageshow.com, thebrainmassageshow.com. Click on the Contact Us button. Write me an email. I want to hear from you, so call me, 1-888-770-8000, 1-888-770-8000. Leave a message on our listener response hotline, as I will be out of town, but I do call in to get my calls, and I look forward to hearing from my listeners. So call me at 1-888-770-8000. After a short message letting you know you've reached the Brain Massage Show, you'll hear the tone, you can leave your message. Or go to thebrainmassageshow.com and write me an email. God bless you. God save America. I'll see you in church.
I love this church because it's a place where you can come and grow and, you know, and be taught the Word of God and be fed. It's a place, you know, where you're going to be loved.
Well, I just can't believe that everybody in Santa Maria doesn't come to Lighthouse Baptist Church. It's an amazing place with a bunch of amazing people. You need to come on Easter.
We have a pastor that doesn't compromise. You've got to come to church on Easter Sunday. You'll love it.
What I like about Lighthouse Baptist Church is that the Word of God is taught, and I want to invite all my friends to come hear the services on Easter Sunday.
The preaching is hot, and the pastor preaches in season and out of season. Come to Easter services here at Lighthouse Baptist Church.
I love the spirit here. I love how I could come here, and it's a family, and I want to invite you to come to the Easter service at Lighthouse Baptist Church.
I love my church because it's an opportunity for me to serve in the ministry. I love that I can have someone to go to if I need anything, and I greatly encourage you to come for our Easter service.
For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturdays at 7:30 a.m. and go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com. The Brain Masseur is preparing to massage your brain with stimulating insights.